Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and joining us on the phone from the North Country, a regular on the program, Don Hassig from Cancer Action New York. Don, good to have you here. Welcome back.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Good. And also joining us is a frequent guest joining us with Don Hassig, Dr. David O. Carpenter, who we haven't talked to in a while. Dr. Carpenter, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
Now, for people who haven't heard you on with us before, just to tell us a little bit about your background and what you do.
Well, I'm a professor of environmental health at the University of Albany. I'm a public health physician, and my research has been focused for a number of years on human health effects of a variety of environmental contaminants.
And Don, we always go for the definition here. A lot of our listeners know what these things are, but for those who don't, tell us quickly about POPs, POPs, persistent organic pollutants.
These are man-made toxic substances which bioaccumulate. Everybody has a dangerous body burden of these chemicals, and they cause cancer, they cause diabetes, they cause heart disease. They are part of our lives that we don't want and that the government could help out on if the truth were told. If the scientific information was just presented to the public, this would be much better.
Now, one of the worst of these is PCBs. People remember the fight with General Electric several years back to clean up the Hudson, and now the IARC has classified these PCBs officially as human carcinogens. So each of you tell us, I guess first, who is the IARC, and then explain how this classification came about.
Well, IARC is the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It's part of the World Health Organization, and they're really the foremost body in the world that rates the evidence on for carcinogens. I served on the committee last February. IARC is located in Lyon, France. And while PCBs have been rated as probable human carcinogens for many years, based on clear evidence they cause cancer in animals, it was only with this meeting that PCBs were rated as proven human carcinogens, and that it isn't just those that are like dioxin, it's the full range of the 209 different chemicals that are identified as being PCBs. And what was particularly important here is a lot of attention was focused on those that have fewer chlorines, which don't stay in the human body as long as those that have more chlorines, and where you can both eat them with food and so forth, or you can breathe them in from the air.
So PCBs are polychlorinated biphenyls. What are they, and where do they come from? What manufacturing processes release these into our atmosphere or our water?
Well, they were manufactured in many different countries. In North America, the major manufacturer was the Monsanto Corporation. They had two plants, one in Anniston, Alabama, and one in Illinois. They manufactured them. They were shipped all over the world, actually. They were very useful compounds. They're a heavy oil. They were used as insulators. They were very commonly used in electrical capacitors. They were used as hydraulic fluids. They were used as a solvent for paints and caulking that was put around windows in buildings. They were the main ingredient in the copy paper that used to be used. And so they were many places. My office is overlooking the Hudson River. What happened here is very similar to what happened along the St. Lawrence River and many other rivers and lakes, where industrial concerns used these compounds. When they spilled, they washed them down the drain. They went into the water. They bound to the sediments. Then they got taken up by fish and small animals, so that the fish were very contaminated. Since then, they have become distributed in our food supply. They're fat soluble, so they're always located in fat. So you can't eat a Big Mac without getting a little bit of PCBs. They're in whole milk, they're in butter, they're in eggs, they're in every kind of animal fat, although the most serious contamination is usually in fish that are living in contaminated bodies of water.
So what is the process the IARC uses to make these determinations? Did a group of scientists present testimony and evidence, and then there's a vote, or how does that work?
Well, in preparation for the meeting, each of us was given a writing assignment. My assignment was to review the sources of exposure to PCBs in North and South America and Africa. Therefore, I had to review what was present in various foodstuffs, what was present in the air, what was present in drinking water, and try to determine how people are exposed to these compounds. Others had to review the animal studies. Still others had to review the mechanisms of action of PCBs. And then finally, a major group had to review the evidence from human health studies. And yes, at the end of the meeting, there is a vote on each of the criteria. How strong is the evidence that PCBs cause cancer in people? How strong that they cause cancer in animals? And what are the mechanisms that explain the development of cancer in both people and animals? And there was a unanimous vote that the evidence that PCBs cause cancer is conclusive, and that's caused cancer in humans.
Don, let me ask you this, because when I heard this news, I'm guessing my reaction might be similar to yours, which is, number one, it's terrific news, but then number two, what in the world took so long?
Yeah, it took so long because the companies that did it, say Monsanto, and the companies that used the chemicals that Monsanto manufactured and distributed, General Electric, Westinghouse, General Motors, Alcoa, Reynolds, they have a huge amount of power, and so they resist the efforts, which end up being largely governmental, they resist the governmental efforts to address the problem in a science evidence-based manner, basically just by holding down that kind of discourse, getting people talking about exercise and, say, fruit and vegetables when you're talking about cancer, and just staying away from the subject of PCBs, staying away from the subject of dioxins, staying away from the subject of chemical carcinogens. And that's where we're at. We are here in this moment in time in 2013 with all that power being used to keep this scientific knowledge away from the people that need it, the American public.
So now, with this designation, what happens going forward? How are PCBs regulated now, if at all, in the United States, and how might they be now, thanks to this ruling?
Well, I think that's the critical question. At the moment, there has not been any activity taken by the U.S. government or by state governments to tighten regulations. There, one of the issues that Don and I have been particularly concerned about is the fact that we're all exposed just from the food we eat. And the solutions for reducing the amount of PCBs in food are fairly obvious. Animals are exposed to PCBs because of what they eat. And then we are exposed to PCBs because we eat the animal fat. Now, most domestic animals are not carnivorous. Cows eat grass and hay. But they're fed supplements which often contain waste animal fat. And it's that waste animal fat that has the PCBs in them. So the solution is to stop feeding waste animal fat, especially if it has the PCBs in it, which almost all fat does. And we would then be able to get the PCBs out of our food supply. The problem is that when a cow goes to be butchered, what do you do with all the fat? Well, it's cost-effective to feed it back to other cows, even though cows don't normally eat cow fat. So there needs to be a change in the way agriculture is practiced, and that would, over a period of relatively short time, remove the PCBs from the animal fats that are part of our diet.
Well, I remember back when we first heard of mad cow disease, I know there were some efforts to end the practice of feeding animal products back to animals because of that risk. Did that never take hold? Or?
Well, what happened is that we stopped feeding cow fat to cows. So now we feed the cow fat to the pigs and the chickens. We feed the pig and the chicken fat to the cows with the idea that mad cow disease isn't going to cause disease in pigs and chickens. So in some ways, that's reduced the risk of developing mad cow disease, but it's done nothing to reduce the risk of being exposed to PCBs and other persistent organic chemicals.
And I know I was listening to the two of you talk to each other on the conference before we started the interview, and you both said one of the problems, and I've talked about this a lot with Don, is getting this news out to anybody, that when the International Agency for Research on Cancer meets and does something, most of the worldwide media kind of looks the other way.
That's a major problem. I was unable, you know, having even been on that committee, to get any significant press here in the Capital District. It's very important news. It's very big news. But the solution to the problem really requires some national efforts to regulate what goes into our food supply. Now, there's always going to be the issue that if you go catch a fish out of the Great Lakes, out of Lake Ontario, out of the Hudson River, out of the St. Lawrence River, those wild fish in contaminated bodies of water are going to have PCBs. But the greater exposure for most of us is the beef, the pork, the poultry, the dairy products that we eat. And those come from animals that would not have exposure to PCBs except from the food that they're fed. And from my perspective, that's where we start to reduce human exposure.
And I didn't realize one of the documents that Don sent me to prepare for this, a report from the IARC, they have classified well over 400 different agents as definitely carcinogen or probably or possibly. I didn't realize it was such an extensive list.
Well, they review, now they do these reviews a number of different times in the same substance. The last time PCBs were reviewed was way back in the early 70s when when there wasn't nearly as much information as there is now. But they do work to try to identify things that cause cancer and to determine the degree of evidence that they are carcinogens. And that's what's so important about this. Now, on the basis of all of the world's evidence, all PCBs are known to cause human cancer.
All right, Don, I know the last time we talked, you had mentioned that you're starting to get a little bit of progress in your part of the state and getting some lawmakers to listen to you. Is that are you continuing to have more people listen to your story?
Not lawmakers. I wouldn't say lawmakers. We continue to hammer on lawmakers and try to just get them to just be reasonable. Just agree and then take action on this matter of the scientific information existing, which can prevent cancer, which can greatly reduce cancer risk merely by causing there to be less chemicals that cause cancer in people's bodies, people making these various choices of what you eat, what body care products you use, where you breathe, you know, whether you are just casual about breathing exhaust or whether you're a little careful about not breathing a whole lot of exhaust. These various things that people can do to have less chemicals in their body, the policymakers, the government people, they're not interested. They have been brainwashed somehow by the corporations and other politicians, truly to the extent that they're not interested. We're finding the people very responsible, though. I'm going door-to-door on the Abizazny Reserve. Those people are very interested in this message about PCBs causing cancer with all their past PCB exposure. I'm going door-to-door in the village of Messina. Those people in the village of Messina with the Alcoa factory right there and many of the former GM workers having lived in the village of Messina, they're all very open to this information about the IARC classification of PCBs and about the persistent organic pollutants. Dioxins, another classified by IARC to be carcinogenic to humans. There's just so much information, and the people are open to it. They want it. People do not want to get cancer. They want to change their lives, change what they put in their body, change their body burdens, do something about the chemicals that they have been exposed to that are causing cancer.
All right, Dr. David O. Carpenter, thank you for your time. Always good to talk with you.
And good to talk to you.
All right, and Don Hassig, Cancer Action New York, keep up the good fight.
Yes, Ted.
All right, that's...